All right, here it comes. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse, 1-866-823-1077.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
All right, Penny Dean, how are you today?
Well, you know, it's a nice day. It's sunny and beautiful and not horribly hot. I mean, life is good, right?
Yes, I know. Compared to last week where it was a little hot and steamy and the like. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got to, if you don't mind, I like to start this segment with a couple of questions of my own.
Oh, heck yes. Go ahead.
Okay, good. This weekend was the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers annual reunion.
Right.
In Hillsborough. Well, received some press coverage.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that happened, it was reported by Kevin Landrigan in the Nashua Telegraph, that and I didn't see this myself when I was there, but apparently the New Hampshire Firearms Coalition has an issue with Ovid Lamontagne, who is a Republican candidate for the United States Senate, passing out flyers saying that Ovid supports statewide gun ban. And what it apparently stems from is Lamontagne's backing of this safe schools legislation, House Bill 1528, back in 1994, while he was chairman of the Board of Education. And, you know, you probably know a little bit more about this history than I do, and I wanted to get your comments on this.
Well, I thought it was 1996 or 95. If you say it's 94, I'll...
That's what the newspaper says, so...
For some strange reason, my brain says it's a different year. But anyway...
Okay.
Here's the problem with that. He supported it. And let me tell you, he was very good about, you know how somebody, you can tell the truth, but you mislead. Okay, So let me tell you the article that I read, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the article in front of me.
Okay.
He basically said that, yeah, I supported it. Now realize the Firearms Coalition has the audio from that day, so you can listen to it. And it was clear, if he's a friend of gun owners, I'll take enemies, thank you. He clearly supported, in my mind, very anti-gun legislation. Now, in there, let me tell you what he does that I find very offensive. He says in there, I consulted with gun owners in New Hampshire. That might be technically true. That doesn't mean GO&H supported. It doesn't mean they agreed with him. You can say you consulted with GO&H and all this. Well, what message does it leave the reader with then?
Right. Yeah. Here's what he's quoted as saying. Upon reviewing the bill in advance of my testimony before the committee, and after consulting with representatives of GO&H, I urge that the legislation be amended through a study committee or otherwise so that the goal of enhancing a safe school environment during school hours could be achieved while protecting individual rights and freedoms on school premises during off hours.
Yeah. So what that doesn't say, that takes one little sentence. Sarah Brady could go consult with me, right?
Right. Yes.
I mean,
sure.
Okay,
no, exactly. Right.
Right. But that doesn't mean that I'm taking her point of view or she's taking mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the funny thing is, when I read that, I said, I came to New Hampshire in 95. Okay. And so I ask a lot of people who've been here longer than me, which I've been here 15, 16 years. Okay. If they had been a part of that and quote-unquote consulted with Ovid, blah, blah, blah. Nobody seems to recall that. So I'm going to keep going, but I'll tell you what, I have the GO&H records going back to what I call the beginning of time. And I went down to my cellar and I opened a bunch of boxes. And I got to tell you that I would be curious for the document, if he can produce a document that says GO&H was with him on that. Because I'm betting you a nickel he can't. You know, that's, and like I said, that to me is a misleading phrase.
Well, what happened eventually with that legislation? Well, the concerns were, I take it from the story, was that even if, ban guns on school property. Okay, that sounds nice, all well and good, well-intentioned.
I'm against that, though.
But, yeah, I think I understand why. But I'm just saying, you know, for news purposes, it sounds nice, doesn't it? Oh, let's ban guns from schools. It just makes perfect sense, right?
No.
Well, the problem is the parents, from one account that I saw, driving to pick up their kids from school might happen to have a loaded 9mm hidden in the armrest or something, and they would become a felon.
Well, the other problem is, okay, in all the school shootings we've had in this country, okay, the ones where someone's had a firearm and stopped it has been a good thing, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so the bottom line is what you're doing is making it a killing zone. And I, for one, would love our teachers to be armed. Absolutely. And I look at it like a personal choice. It's like you go in the good store and there's people armed to protect your kids.
Right.
You know, and so or the bottom line is, what if I want to go to a high school football game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're usually at night. You don't park your car right there. You park your car how many blocks away to watch it, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, there's weirdos out sometimes.
Okay.
I personally happen to like having a firearm, you know, and there's just a million reasons. The other thing that I think we should do, I think we should have firearm safety in the schools.
Oh, that I certainly agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Firearm safety, hunter safety, and I look at it as it's another sport.
And they used to, I think, at one time.
Absolutely they did. Absolutely
yeah.
they
well,
did.
Well, Penny, let's take a call, shall we?
We shall.
All right, 1-866-823-1077. Harvey from Concord, you're on Bulldog Live, along with attorney Penny Dean.
Yes, Brian, and guests. I was on Hampton Beach last week walking the boulevard, and I look over upon a pole, and there's a big red sign, blinking red sign, saying personal firearms are illegal. That's when the personal firearms are illegal. I've been a gun owner for all my life, and you're starting to see this, you know, a lot. It's like putting it into people's minds that, no, firearms are illegal, but they aren't. You can have a firearm in the state, providing it, you have a good record.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Was this on private property or public property?
Okay. I was walking the boardwalk, and I looked across the street, just north of the bandstand, and on a telephone pole is this blinking red sign that says, what's some other rules of the Hampton Beach area? It would pop up saying, personal firearms are illegal.
Let me ask another question. Was it one of those road signs that DOT typically puts out to, you know, those message boards? Was it one of those?
Not a portable one. It was definitely,
okay,
you know, attached to a pole.
So the whole thing that you would do if you were a nice fella is you'd go back there and take a picture of that and email it to me.
You can go right on the internet on the Hampton Beach webcam at night, and you'll see it. And there's like 5-6 zones that it keeps on switching to, and all of a sudden you'll see it. It'll be right there.
Oh, huh. I'm taking notes right now. I'm going to do that. Because if I find out that the city fathers put it up, the city mothers are going to make them take it down.
Yeah,
really.
Like,
this city mother right here.
That's right.
It'll show a view just north of the bandstand. You look good, and all of a sudden you'll see it.
Oh,
it'll,
wow.
Just the rules, no littering, stuff like that. Then all of a sudden it'll pop up saying, personal firearms are illegal.
You want me to tell you what? I haven't been to Hampton Beach in a while, and I love going to Hampton Beach. So, by golly, I'm going to look on the webcam, but I may have to go there because that's a bunch of horky blorky.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, well, how long has that been there? In other words, is this a brand new sign or is it old?
It's been years since I've been to Hampton. I like to go to the show when I get country western music, and
uh-huh.
I noticed it then. Then I got on the webcam, and sure than heck, it's right there on the Hampton Beach webcam.
Well, any other listeners, if you guys know how long it's been there, if it was recently put up, or if you know anything about it, Bulldog or I would love it if you call us and tell us.
Absolutely. 1-866-823-1077. Harvey, thank you very much for the tip. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Wow. Good luck on the. We'll talk next week about how that turns out, and hopefully we'll get some other callers who might have observed the same thing. Another question I wanted to ask you. You're probably familiar with some headlines about an alleged road raid case in Concord on Loudoun Road between KFC and Dunkin' Donuts, where a 19-year-old woman with a 2-year-old child in the back seat was trying to escape somebody who had, according to eyewitnesses, threatened her with some sort of a utility tool. They ended up both getting arrested and charged and the like. My question is this. In a case where, because apparently this started in the parking lot somewhere with the two mouthing off to each other, but the moment that somebody backs off in a confrontation or a potential confrontation, even if you started it, and if the person comes after you while you're backing away, are you innocent then or what?
Let's say that you're backing away and you're trying to end the confrontation, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, then. There's all these what I call legal fictions, okay? So what the law thinks of it is they think of it as a new attack. In other words, you're backing away. As long as you're doing it like you're not backing into the person's car, you're truly leaving the situation. And it would be obvious to a reasonable person that you're just leaving the situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If that person then, quote-unquote, comes after you, it's considered retaliation or attack.
Okay, that's how it was explained to me once a few years ago.
Yeah, and so you can't, like, go get the last lick in type thing.
Uh-huh.
And so the bottom line is in that type of situation, and here's the problem. They have what's called mutual combat, and it's really hard to discern in some fights or altercations or self-defense things where the fighting begins, because if you're in the middle of it, you sometimes can't tell the other guys quit fighting. If you've been fighting for a few minutes, you think the guy's taking a break, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's really hard to tell. But, like, if someone's clearly backing away or turned their back on you and walking away and you go hit them in the back of the head, that's considered kind of naughty.
Okay.
You know, that's going to be considered an attack.
All right.
You know, and that's the other thing is they use these standards. It's called ability, opportunity, and jeopardy. In other words, does the person have the ability to hurt you? If you got a person in a wheelchair 100 yards away saying, I'm going to punch you in the nose, they probably don't have the ability.
Right.
And then you go opportunity. Do they have the opportunity? Again, that person wouldn't have the opportunity, but if I'm standing over your head with a baseball bat, I got the opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing is jeopardy. Are you really in jeopardy? So if I'm standing over your head with a baseball bat, you're probably in jeopardy, right?
Yes.
Now, if I'm standing down this block yelling at you, I'm going to come hit you with this baseball bat, you're not yet in jeopardy. Now, if I start running at you and you can't get away, then we're, you know, at the jeopardy level.
Okay.
In other words, let's say I'm a faster runner than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to be able to outrun her. And I don't think a person should have to outrun an attack. That's the issue that we get into is the police will say, well, you could have got away. You could have done this. Why should a person have to retreat when they're being attacked?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, let's say I'm just walking down the street minding my own business and some crazy person comes up and starts whopping me in the head.
Right.
I should be able to defend myself. I shouldn't have to run in a store and hide.
Yes.
Right. You know what I'm saying? In other words,
right.
Or do something else. Oh, my God. Now, granted, I wouldn't want to get whopped in the head. But the idea is I should be able to defend myself because that way if you defend yourself and you put the attacker down so, you know, you're holding them on the ground or they're in a safe position, then you know they can't come at you because when you're running and hiding, they're probably chasing you.
All right. 1-866-823-1077. We can continue this conversation. We'll talk about what Penny Dean has to say if you've been in trouble already, what you can do about it, and a whole lot more here on Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.